Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
And Jenny's here. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
So we are back for another Sunday night episode. It is hot. It is hot.
It's going to be hotter.
I know.
Like the whole, like the state of Pennsylvania, which I'm assuming Ohio is too, like we're under a heat advisory.
Yes. Yes, we are.
This is, and like the local, like weather guy was like, this is not normal weather. Like not normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be bad.
Well, and going into this week, today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to any fathers that might be listening to our podcast. Hope you had a great day today. This though, however, starts cake week for us.
Oh, because it is birthday.
It is birthday week. It is birthday week. I like to.
We had a cookie cake today.
You had cookie cake?
Yeah. Well, because my father-in-law's birthday is tomorrow.
I think we're having ice cream cake all weekend. All week. I think that's what they want.
That's
I like an ice cream cake.
What I'm obsessed with is Dairy Queen. They have the cupcake cups, which is basically a slice of cup.
It's like a cupcake.
So
an ice cream cupcake?
Yeah, well, Dairy Queen, you know how their cake has like the layer of chocolate, the fudge, the brownie, and then the layer of white?
Uh-huh.
So if you go to Dairy Queen, they have cupcakes, which is their sundae cake with basically the layer of chocolate, the layer of fudge, the layer of brownie, and the layer of vanilla, and then the frosting.
I could get behind that.
They're amazing.
I'm not a huge cake fan, but I will annihilate an ice cream cake.
Jenny is in her head calculating where the closest Dairy Queen is.
That's exactly what I was doing.
Mine is 4 minutes away with the stoplights.
Jeremy, could you please run?
if I go this way instead of like this way.
And don't quote me, I think they're like $2.50 for one.
That's super cheap.
No, and it's like basically a piece of the cake in a cup. It's my most favorite thing.
I can see why. I did tell my kids that we're going to do an ice cream tour this summer. So we'll have to add that.
You should add that. Okay. So we do have a romance term of the week this week. A term that I've used a couple times in the last couple weeks, and I think it threw some people off. Maybe Jenny a minute.
Yeah. For a second.
Hence the reason for asking.
I asked, so what it was is I have referred to a book as being third person head hopping, which if you have read older historical romances, if you read Nora Roberts, if you tend to read a little bit more in the vein of traditional publishing, it is very common in I would say older books.
Or older authors.
Older authors. So head hopping is a term used in literary criticism to describe a specific issue with point of view in a narrative. It occurs when the perspective within a single scene or chapter abruptly shifts from one character's thoughts and experience to another without clear transition or break. Meaning you're reading along in the chapter and we think what is the female heroine's POV, and the next thing you know is you're getting her best friends, and it just flows into that scene of the story. If you really were to break it down, it reads a little closer to a screenplay than what we are currently used to in POVs. So what we're currently, if you're reading third person, and we always say third person dual point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The technical term is third person, limited third person point of view. So the narrator closely follows one character's perspective throughout a scene or chapter. Internal thoughts and feelings are limited to that character. And any shifts in point of view are clearly marked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's a little
like in newer books, they'll have like the transitions.
Yeah, they'll have page breaks, chapter breaks. Although, and this is an interesting topic, Carrie and I were talking recently. She was listening to an audiobook and happened to have the physical ebook in front of her. And it was the audiobook. Audiobooks don't mark transition breaks. Yeah. And she was wholly confused.
Especially if it's single narration.
Well, even at dual narration, it's kind of jarring to not hear chapter 22. Liam.
But I think it depends because Anna Hackett in her series, like in one chapter, she will go from more than one point of view. Granted, she uses dual narration in almost all of hers, but it's not as jarring because it has like a natural like progression as to where the flip happens. So like it doesn't bug me when in that scenario, but sometimes in a single point of view, like when it does that, like it takes me a hot minute because the voice doesn't necessarily change because like there's no, since it's single narration, they don't have like, unless they're doing speaking, they don't change their tone. And yeah. So sometimes it takes a second to be like, oh wait, I'm in the other character
now. And I have noticed some authors in their writing styles really like every scene change to be a new chapter. Mm-hmm. Thus, we have an author with a book with 82 chapters, but it's only 400 pages. Mm-hmm. And some chapters are two sentences. But then we also have other authors that have 16 chapters and it's 600 pages. You know, like, where's all this content? Like, and so... And I see the question I'm often asked by authors, the question, like, how many words per chapter? What's the average mm-hmm. chapter length?
Yeah, I get that. I've gotten that from a couple different authors.
And anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 words. But it really just depends on the pacing and the cadence of your writing, right?
Yeah, like, I always say when it feels like a natural progression for, like, a new chapter to start, then do it.
Well, if we're facing a new day or facing a new problem, that is an easy way to start a new mm-hmm. chapter. Or if you're moving right. locations, like if you're going from the bedroom to yeah. downstairs to the kitchen and you're not wanting to walk us all the way through yeah. the house, make yeah. a new chapter.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like you don't have to make that transition like smooth if you're going to a new chapter.
Exactly.
You can just be like all of a sudden in a new place.
So this kind of leads into word count, all of that stuff as to what our topic is this evening.
It does.
So we all know that life can be pretty busy, and sometimes it's hard to find the time to dive into those epic long reads. Really, some of us, our attention span is kind of spent, and 600 pages is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
So we have curated a list of must reads under 350 pages that are not only short and sweet, but also packed with all the feels you crave in a romance. Whether you're looking for a steamy fling, a heartfelt journey, or a laugh out loud rom-com, we have you covered. Because we seem to have two camps right now in romance. We've got authors that are writing overly long books that make no freaking sense. And then we have the authors that are sticking to that 60 to 70,000 word count.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting.
Yeah, because we're not talking novellas either.
Right.
Like 250-ish pages.
Yeah, we're not talking novellas. We're talking any... So word count. So in the world of word counts,
mm-hmm.
up to 30,000 is considered a novella. From... 30 to 55 is considered what would have been category.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have quite a few authors that kind of write in that 50 to 60,000 word. Anything above 40,000, anything above 40,000 is a full length novel.
Mm-hmm.
But we are often right now seeing authors writing 120,000 word books.
And that's 140,000 word books are kind of the norm right now.
And sometimes I want to pick up a book and I want it to move quickly and I get bored. I was telling you guys I had a really great read a couple weeks ago, but there was no third act breakup and the author could not figure out how to end the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 120 pages too long. Like, it went from a 5-star to a 4-star because I was like, I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bored. But if we look at like that Megan Quinn book that we read for the first Sip and Discuss, it was what, 420? I think. Bridesmaids for Hire. I think it was about 420.
None of us read all 420 except for you.
I did.
Yes, we know you did. Everybody knows you did.
But there was stuff in that book that easily could have been taken out that would have helped that storyline. You know, we had
100%.
It was 450. It could have easily been 100 pages less and a much stronger story.
Well, and we
and that's where the issue is. There's so much extra in books. Like, there are authors who, like, you, there's just so much repetitiveness. There's so much, like, you're, like, lack of a better term, like beating a dead horse in a story that, like, you don't need it. Just pull it and your story will be a lot better.
But then there are authors that can write a longer book. Like, I'm looking at Melissa Foster. She writes a longer book. They're very good. They're very well done. Kennedy Ryan writes a longer book. Her books, every piece of those stories are worth it. They're there for a purpose.
Yeah.
So it really just depends on the pacing of the story, how it matches up. But again, right now, like, we ended up switching the Sip and Discuss for this coming week. Because I was on the struggle bus with that book so bad that I knew it was going to end up being a whole nother Megan Quinn situation. I'm the only one who finished it.
Well, it's because you read them first.
Yeah. That's what I read.
And that's the thing, like, authors who have, like, who have written long books, like, from the start of their career, like, that's the way they do it. And, like, their books haven't, their style of writing hasn't changed. The length of their books hasn't changed. Sometimes they even write a shorter book every once in a while. You're like, oh man, why is this done already? Like, it's just kind of shocking when their books are shorter, but, like, it's the authors who, like, they had a really great sweet spot at, like, the 250 who are writing the 500 page books now, because, I mean, page reads make a difference, but.
Well, and there are lots of people in that camp right now criticizing books that the authors are overextending the stories, overwriting the situations.
Yeah.
That's part of the joy of no third act breakup. They can add more stuff in and elongate the book so they have a bigger page read, right?
And, like, when I was looking at, I sorted on Goodreads by page count, and most of mine that fit under the 350 are older, like, yeah, like, four or more years,
like,
old.
There, and like we said, there are some authors who, like, their sweet spot is that 60 to 70,000 words, and that's what we'll always get from them. But there are some, it just...
Well, and there are some times that we read a longer book and it doesn't feel long, because we've had this discussion before where we're like, oh my God, I love this book.
Well, we talked about it while we were talking about this episode.
Yeah.
Like, you and I were going through books and we're like, how the heck was that book 425 pages? Like, it didn't feel that long.
It didn't. And, you know, I'm going to say it again. This is my, apparently what I'm talking about all summer. Content and stakes versus vibes, right? Like, if you're giving us momentum and story and development of amazing characters, and you're doing that in such a way that you write it in 450 pages, but I can sink my teeth into it, even if I have to sit with it a minute, I'm sinking my teeth into it, versus if it's a book just filled with fluffy vibes, I'm bored.
Well, and it goes into that, if I can skip four chapters in the middle of a book and not miss a single thing, there's too much. And we all know I do that on the regular, because if I'm liking a story, but it's just too much, I will just skip four or five chapters.
Well, I was looking at Lauren Rose, older backlist. And, like, I love Hero and I love Rockstar. Those books are over 350 pages. But those books have so much in them that, you know, it just works. And I can't read it fast enough, you know? So it was very interesting doing this, because I'm with you. I think that 60,000 words, that's my sweet spot right now. You know, if we start teetering towards the 80, then it's... anywhere from 80 to 120, I start to worry that it's going to be more vibes and less.
Well, but then again, it depends. Like if you got that like meaty story.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's an author that I trust going into it, where I don't even look at the page count. Where like at the end of the book, I'm like, sometimes I'll look just out of curiosity. I'm like, wow, that was worth it.
Yeah, and if you're on your Kindle, a lot of times you'll get locations like 58,000 or 5,800
Yeah, that's cool.
locations or something. I don't know exactly. I think locations are actual of Kindle pages versus a book page. And I think your location count can change based on your
It's this.
size, right?
I think so.
Like what your font size is and stuff.
I don't know. Let's find
Yeah.
out.
I don't understand locations, but oftentimes somebody will say, "How many locations is that?" And I'll be like,
Well, but it depends
"I have
on.
no idea."
But it also depends on the way the book is formatted, because sometimes you have locations and sometimes you have page numbers. You don't always have both, too. Because I'm reading Little Sunshine right now and it doesn't have locations, it only has page numbers. So let me go into a different book.
Okay. But okay, so Jenny, let's talk about plot versus and pacing in
Oh, this one
development.
doesn't have them either.
So obviously, a shorter book, it's with less words, they're gonna have to do it quicker, right?
Right, you gotta get to the point.
And do you feel that books under 350 pages, do you feel like they suffer some of that pacing and plot development?
I don't. When I was looking like for books for this, I'm like, wow, this book was under 350. Like, I think depending on your format of telling a story, you can make it work.
I agree. Do you find in books over that 300, so looking at your list, those books that are over 350 pages, do you find a lot of unnecessary filler?
I would say I'm a 50-50 person because I'm one of the people that does like longer books, but I want, like you were saying, stakes. Like I want some kind of like foreshadowing for like the stories that are to come, maybe an overarching plot that goes more than one book. I need something. I don't want like a drive down to the lake or whatever. I can do that on my own.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking about Reluctantly Royal by Aaron Nicholas, and that is over 450 pages.
I think it's
Okay.
almost 500.
But that book read really fast, but there was a lot of world building and a lot of stakes, and we really needed to solve a lot of issues. And so for that one, it works versus like the first book in the Knock 'Em Out series by Lucy Score. At the halfway point, I mean, that book was over 600 pages. And I was bored.
Yeah. Well, there's so much repetitiveness and so much overtelling and so much, just so much. Like, you didn't need all that. And it's like, yes, she's building a world, but you can build a world in like a couple chapters well. And the thing with her is like we've seen it in the past where she's created really great books with a lot less words.
Yeah. Well, and so when we give our recs here, we kind of picked up like five of our top subgenres that we read and have books in them. And like small towns, so you're saying, like world building can be done shorter. Hell yeah, it can. Hell yeah, it can. Cary Elks. Cary Elks. Winterville, Salinger Brothers, Heartbreak Brothers, on average, they're under 350 pages. There are a few that are over, but for the most part, under. Under, under, under. Yeah, that's a
Right,
small.
and she does an excellent job at like the town being a character without all the fluff.
Oh, yeah. So it can be done. It doesn't have to just be, I just think it's an excuse to say, well, I had to world build.
That's a terrible excuse, because you can world build like as you're like learning about these characters and like the places they're visiting and like the people that they're having conversations with. Like you can go into an ice cream shop like to help create the world. Like
Especially in
I
contemporary
just
romance, because it's contemporary. It's our
Yeah.
current world.
Yeah.
Right. I don't need any like understanding of,
Like, I know what a bistro
I don't.
table is. It's a small circular table with two chairs. Do I need
Yeah.
you to explain to me that it is wrought iron, spray painted
Well,
green with a glass top?
that's
No.
like Vanessa Vale's Manhunt, like her small town in that one. Like, now a lot of the rest of the series is longer. So books one and book five are under 350, because, and I went through every book just to check. But book one, like, she create like you go into the coffee shop and you meet the people, and like they have this whole shtick with like the pink shirts and like the pets and things like that. And it's like she creates this fun environment just by having Mav like go into that shop and get his pink shirt.
Well, and Stacey brings up a really great point. The page count is one of the reasons she picked up Winterville over other books. She loved them so much, and you're welcome. But it made them easier to binge too. So if you're a binge reader, you know, and you come up against a series like, say, Sarah Kate's Salacious Player Club, that's what, six books? Six books.
I think so.
Six books, and every book is over 400 pages.
But even like Melissa Foster, like you can't binge Melissa Foster. Like you have to, like, if there's a lot of time dedication into a Melissa Foster book. And that's the thing. Like, if you are like in the mood for that, like, scenario, because I mean, honestly, like, there are times where I'm like, I need to find like the perfect series to just lose myself in it for like 3 days. But it's hard to do that with a longer book because you're just, there's just so much.
So much. Okay, so let's talk character development because that is something that comes up often from people that, you know, defend longer books, that they get better character development in.
But the thing is, if it takes you 600 pages to develop your character, I feel like there's something wrong with your writing.
Okay, well, Leah's just saying it.
Right, like
She's saying
she's like,
the
that's the
quiet
thing, like it
part out
shouldn't take
loud.
you
You
600
know?
pages to develop your character. It should take you like a small chunk to develop your character, and then the rest of it is like letting your character grow. Like, it should not take 600 pages to develop a character.
Well, again, particularly if you're in contemporary romance, like they're humans, they're not vampires.
But I
Right.
read vampires books that don't even take 600 pages to develop their characters.
Yeah, but they're dealing with human problems. They're not like looking for their next feed, and we need to understand how that works.
Right.
I don't know, the
Right.
vampire books that I have, they have human problems as long, like, as well as their vampire problems. So
I will say,
they
like,
apparently don't need twice the pages to create both
and
sides.
we did see that Amy Award can write a 200-page book with nodding. So you can't even say that magical penises and stuff like that, you know,
This is
don't
true.
need 400 pages. They do not.
Magical penises don't need 400
They
pages.
do not. So I do think that depending on quality of writer, how they introduce the world, how they introduce the characters, shorter books we can still get and feel a deep connection to the characters, right? Because Rena Morgan's books, I don't think any of them are over 350 pages. The last one was close, or it might have gone
Well,
right over.
but it was also sh strictly indie too, though.
Rena Morgan's, not her last one. Her last one was
I thought
Karina
her
Press.
last was
Never.
it?
Her last one was Karina. But it just, like,
But I will say, both of those characters, especially her heroine in that last book, like, you needed a few more pages for that one.
you did, but I'm just saying, like, we know that you can do it and still give us characters and book boyfriends. I don't think Wild is over 300 pages.
There's the rare Sawyer that goes over 350 pages, because
Really?
Baden is 409.
Oh, yeah, but that was again world building, and you had a lot of character development, and
But it was book one. But then if you look at the rest of the series, they kind of peter down from there.
yeah, it's really interesting. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. Reader satisfaction and accessibility. Shorter books can provide a satisfying reading experience for those with busy schedules or those who might be intimidated by longer novels. And I will say, I don't want a 12-hour audiobook. I mean,
I mean, I already speed my audiobooks up,
yeah,
but
because
even
I'm always
so,
like,
like,
doing the math, and I'm like, oh man, that's more than a day. I'm not sure I can do this.
Yeah, like I did an audiobook today. I listened to it at 1.5 speed. I did do some like flipping back to the ebook and reading, but it went really fast, and I got a whole audiobook done from listening to it this morning and was done about 2 hours ago. It was perfect. And now I can move on to the next book.
Well, I'm like with my audiobooks, I like with my regular books, like my ebooks, my audiobooks. I like to read a book a day if I can. It's like if I need to take 2 days to listen to it, like if I listen to it like consistently throughout the day, like I don't want it to take more than one day. Like, granted, most of the time, if I haven't listening to an audiobook, it's because I'm like doing other things. And so it's like short snippets. But like, if I'm focused on an audiobook, like, and I want to listen to it, like, I want to get done with it that day.
Do you think, so this is an interesting thought. Do you think this current trend of longer books is in fashion because the idea of duets and trilogies are out of fashion? If we look at romances 2010, 2011, 2012, that was the era of trilogies and duets, right? Like that's when 50 Shades of Grey came on the scene, Laura Lynn Page, Sylvia Day. Like they gave us these long, complicated saga stories that were duets and trilogies. And then as we entered into 2017, 2018, 2019, people wanted the standalone book, right? They wanted that single book to read. And authors who maybe would have typically written it as a duet said, no, readers really just want one book. So I'm going to make it 500 pages, but as a duet, it would have only been 250. Do you think that plays into some of the reason that we're currently getting longer books?
Good question.
I think it does partially, but I also think that the fact that pay, especially on Amazon, and I'm not like not putting Amazon down because if it wasn't for Amazon, we would not have the indie market that we have. But the
Absolutely.
way that Amazon pays out, they pay out on page reads, and the longer your book is, the more people that finish it, the more page reads you have. So you're going to get paid a lot more for your 500 page book if 15 people finish it versus somebody who writes a 250 page book if 15 people finish it. It's like 15 people finishing a 500 page book is not out of the realm of normal.
Right.
But like the more traction that book gets and the more people that read it, even if they read 50% of it and then DNF it, you're still reading 250 pages. So you're getting paid for basically a full novel. Like you don't get that like finished book bonus, but you're still getting those 250 page reads.
It's true. But we know that there are successful KU authors writing shorter books. Carrie Elks is in KU. We know Amy Award is in KU. Jill Ramsauer, KU. Ashley Muniz, KU. Sadie Kincaid, KU. Like Kylie Kent, KU. So, like, we know that there are authors that are hitting that top list of Amazon. Technically, the Laura Pavlov book that's been for the last week circling up there, I think that's around 350 sitting there in KU.
It might be. Let me
I
look.
mean, I know Megan Quinn is over 400. I was shocked Natasha Madison books are over 400 pages. She does not have met, I don't think she had one under 400.
The new Laura Pavlov is 340.
Okay, so we know you can have success on Amazon
I'm not
with.
saying that you can't. I'm saying that there are people that strive for that like million page reads, like right
Yeah.
off the bat, though. And it's like it's just it's a it's that give and take. It's that
Yeah.
two-headed monster,
But
basically.
I'm just
Just
quality over quantity.
yeah,
Same.
and that's the thing. Like, I honestly like I could read one book by an author once a year, but if they give me an exceptional book every single year, I will keep coming back.
So we have kind of talked about that. You know, there are authors out there that are publishing 8, 10, 12 books a year, you know, a new book every 3 weeks. And some authors can do it and do it well. Delta James, her books, a new book every 3 weeks. She writes exceptionally fast. She writes far in advance. I don't have any problem with her books. But then there are other authors that it feels phoned in.
Well, and it's those authors that are writing to like release day and they're not getting quality edits. They're not getting quality proofreads. And it can, you can see that.
But it does. I know that there's been some recent chatter. Elsie Silver is going to a trad pub schedule. Two books a year. You might get three next year, but mostly she's sticking to two books a year is her goal right now.
Well, she's probably burnt out.
Well, she has a young child. She wants to have a life and do things and be able to not work 70,000 hours a week. And I think that that's Sophie Lark kind of stepped back and did that. You know, that's
she was pushing out books like left, right, and center, like and she had like one that was Anastasia was like way over
700, 800 pages for that one.
Yeah, it was... I mean, I read it all, but that is a lot.
I just, there are authors, and those of us that grew up reading books before the explosion of the Indian market, we've talked about it, right? Like, we would get a new book in hardback for anywhere from 9 months to 18 months. Then we'd get the mass market paperback. Rarely did you get two books
maybe
a year from
later, though. Like, you had to wait a year for that paperback. So if you did not have hardback money and your library did not get the hardbacks, you had to wait for the paperback.
Well, and I do think that's some of the success.
And hope nobody spoiled anything for you.
I do think that's some of the success that category romance saw in the 70s, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, because those were coming four books a month per line, you know. So that helps. But I do think that there is an accessibility piece there too with a shorter book. Especially when we are in a life that is full of interruptions and other things to do. You know, do I sit and read this book? How many times did I pick up my phone while I was supposed to be sitting there reading? How many times did I lose 3 hours doom scrolling on TikTok when I could have read 3 hours of a book?
Well, but also some of us are busy as fuck because we have,
because we have
multiple kids,
right,
who we are insane and sign them up for things that we have to go and sit at swim meets for hours at a time. And I mean, I can read at the swim meets, but it's also like, you don't want to just be that person who sits in the corner reading the whole time. I mean, sometimes I am that person.
And there is a serotonin boost you get when you finish a book.
Yeah.
And so the more that you can have that, the more that keeps you engaged and wanting to read and check out the next book. And, you know, that's one of the things I've struggled with this year. I was reading a book a week. You know, I was really on the struggle bus for quite a while. And I wasn't getting that serotonin boost. And books felt long. And then you go and you look at the page counts and you're like, no wonder I was bogged down.
But every once in a while, like, we'll get that, like, sweet spot that, like, brings us back up. We're like, this is why I read. This book is, like, why I enjoy doing this.
And that's procrastination for me.
I do think, too, that, you know, as we see, you know, some of these bigger, longer books, the Knock 'Em Out series by Lucy Score, you know, get these accolades and everybody talks about how amazing they are, we do tend to kind of gloss over and miss the point that there are amazing books that are just as good, just a little shorter, right?
And we do.
We have some episodes coming up later this summer that we're going to hype up some books that might be getting lost in your book racks. But, you know, for the most part, I think that this is a really great way for us to kind of highlight some amazing, amazing authors that if you just have a weekend on the lake with no kids, you could read one or two of these books over the course of 3 days.
What is that like?
I don't know. I'll tell you in Louisville. Although I guess, I mean, I'm taking
you. I will be there without kids.
I'm taking you, and that's like having a child. So,
hey now.
Hey now. I didn't know today was Father's Day. I totally ignored everybody and read an audiobook. So,
Michael cooked all day on Father's Day.
Michael cooked dinner too.
Jeremy cooked too.
See, Are we like the bad moms in the world that the dads all did the cooking on Father's Day?
No, he volunteered to make dinner.
I
Like
make breakfast.
he I didn't
There you
even do
go.
that because he was like, I'm gonna make some breakfast. What can I make you? I was like, oh, I will like an egg sandwich. He's like, okay. Like I told him Happy Father's Day, and then he proceeded to cook all day.
Okay. I made
It's his own
pancakes and
fault.
bacon. Like, I totally
Oh,
was.
sounds good.
I like a good pancake.
I got chocolate chip brioche for French toast this week.
Yum. Yum. Okay. So let's give you some book recs, guys, now that we have wandered down and made Leah hungry every time.
Never fails.
Okay. So the first subgenre that we picked, which isn't really Jenny's subgenre, but Leah and I got you covered, sister.
Well, I had some for this one. It's the rom-coms I
That you
struggled with.
struggled with? Okay, so this
Yeah.
is going to be dark or mafia, maybe motorcycle club. So we are looking at
Well, I
books.
don't have any of those. I just went.
I
I
do.
didn't even think to add those ones in.
Well, just stuff that's going to be a little on the darker side. Because, like Hunting, Haunting Adeline, it's two books. Each book is over 400 pages. Like, it's ridiculous. So if you are looking for something a little more primal, a little more darker, here are some books to try. And so I went dark, mafia, and motorcycle club. So what do you have, Leah?
So Neva Alta, who we have raved about,
Yeah.
her Perfectly Imperfect series. I think all of them are under 200 or 350 pages. I cannot say for sure because I did not double check, but I'm like fairly confident that they are because they're pretty quick reads. Because even the ones that are a little bit slower, like they don't take a lot of time to finish.
Interesting. Which again is probably why I like her books and they're so consumable, right? Who do you have, Jenny?
The Hunt and Illusion by M.L. Philbitt is 346, so it's like right there. And it is the only one in that series, but it hooks you, so
It hooks you and you can't turn away. Thanks again,
yeah.
Stacy. That's a thank
Yes.
you, Stacy.
It is. Thank you.
So Sons of Valentino by Kylie Kent, 267 pages is the average for that series.
Her Merge series, the second gen, is also under 350 pages. So she
Her
typically
hockey
does.
is over 350.
She has a mix because it depends on which series you're in. But like if it's a series, the first one's shorter, then the rest of them are probably going to be shorter.
But hello, that she again hooked us. Like,
She hooked
we're
us.
all stuck in that world with her. No matter what she's writing, we're reading it. But
I mean, I'm not complaining.
if I don't want, if I don't want 400 pages, then I know that the Valentino or the Sinner book, those are all going to be a little on the shorter side. Okay, what else do you have?
Claire Contreras, her Sins and Deceit series. I
Okay.
think one of them might be over 350, but the rest of them I believe are under. But it's very well done. Like, I mean, there are some like too stupid to live moments in it, but I mean, it's a full series. You're gonna have that. But I just really enjoy that series a lot.
Yeah. What do you got, Jenny? Anything else?
Deconstructing Delilah by Allison Rhymes. It's 294, so it's under 300, but it deals with a lot of heavy
Wow,
stuff.
that's all that, and I'm not saying it like, oh my God, that's all that
Right.
it is. I'm saying because we get steaks and
Yeah.
then some more steaks. Oh, and hey, here's a bucket of steaks because you haven't had enough. Like, there's no room for vibes in that book.
No,
Like, that book, Deconstructing Delilah, like, think of deconstructing, and that's what that book does. And you would expect it to be.
yeah, like, I mean, and you go through a large timeline too.
Yeah. Okay, so I have Dante by Sadie Kincaid. It is right at 350. But that is a first in series. Amazing world building, incredible steam, and it sets the premise for the next three books. So it can be done. And again, you hook us with a shorter book as book one, and then we're like,
Yep, and we're in.
okay, sure. Do you have any other dark mafia ones?
Yeah, so Charity Farrell, her Marchetti crime family series, book one and book two are under 350. Book three is 478, but I will say book three follows the timeline of book one and book two congruently. So it makes more sense, like the way that that one plays out. But book one, there's tons of world building, tons of character development, tons of character growth, and it is below the 350, and it is top
It
notch.
is. That's a good one. Do you have more, Jenny, in this one?
I also had Hooked by Emily McIntyre.
Yeah.
It's
I didn't realize that one
312.
was so short.
Yeah, it's 312. I mean, it's dark.
Yeah. So I had the Syndicate series by Cal O'Reilly, averages about 320 pages per book.
I think all of their books are because I have their Mafia Royalty
Yeah.
series. I think their new one might be 360 or something, but I think they average under the 350.
So in the comments, Michelle Hurd has some shorter books for her Mafia too.
Most of her Mafia are shorter. Her older books, some of them are longer, but all the new stuff is shorter.
Shorter. Jill Ramsauer's current book that she just released this week, Craving Chaos, it's like 342.
Well, and
So.
I looked up the Byrne brothers out of curiosity, and there was only one that was above, and it was the one that none of us liked.
Shocking. How did that happen? Anybody else have any other dark mafia ones they want to wreck before we move on?
LK Shaw, her Brooklyn King series,
Oh,
are
that's a good
below
series.
350.
See, and those read fast. And I don't, is that one the one that's currently in KU? Or is that the one she's rotated out? Because she
Let me
rotates out
double
and will go
check.
to Kobo Plus too. And her
Let me
audios are
double
Kobo
check.
Plus. Okay. While Leah looks that up, next we kind of squish rom-coms and contemporary together. So,
It is not in KU right now,
now.
but it was at one
Yeah,
point.
it might be in Kobo Plus. So, if you are looking to change out subscriptions, she does have stuff over in Kobo Plus. Okay,
Yeah.
so rom-coms and contemporary. We'll start with you, Jenny. What do you have under rom-coms and contemporary?
Camden Walker, Apartment 8C by Ali Stiles. It's book two in the Reckney series. This is like one of her more well-known books. It sits at 305, but like it again deals with a bunch of heavy issues. Like the characters go through major growth. It's just over 300
Just
pages.
over 300. What do you have, Leah, for rom-coms and contemporary?
I have Jana Aston, just all of her books.
She's on my list of authors that just write shorter books.
Like, I don't think she has a book that's over
I don't think so.
350 pages. I actually don't even think she usually hits the 300 page mark. I think she's more like a 275er. But like, if you want a funny book that
Yep. That
like
uses
hits
lube for
that,
the butt sex.
who uses lube, and she has a lot of butt
She
sex.
does have a lot of butt sex.
But yeah, so any book by Jana Aston.
Okay, so our friend Amy Award, Cock Down the Block and Pussy Next Door under 350. The Pussy Next Door is at 312. Now, Wiener Down the Way, it's like 372. Like it goes, but those are cute and fun and absolutely worth
Well, and
it.
honestly, like Wiener, it doesn't feel like that long,
No.
so you should just read it
Although
anyway.
she does like a slow burn. She makes us work for the spice.
She
She
does,
does.
but they're so fluffy and fun, and there's always a good floof.
It's always
They're
a good floof.
floof. They are really
What else do you
freaking
got for
funny.
rom-coms and contemporary, Jenny?
Happily Letter After by Di Kaolin and Penelope Ward is $2.99.
Really? That's
Yeah.
surprising because they're
Right?
usually.
They're usually chunky
Yeah.
monkeys, but good to know. I like that book too.
It is really good. Well, now I'm curious how long the invitation is.
Okay, what do you got, Leah?
I have Natalie Kenya for a proposal they can't refuse,
That's a good one.
because that book is delightful. I will say book two is way longer, but yeah, so
So
book one.
I have Lush Money by Angelina M. Lopez. It's at 302 for her book. And then do you have others, Jenny?
I do. Arrived by Ashley Jacobs and S.S. Rich. South Bay Billionaires, book one. It's 328. It's the series Becky was like, hey, has anybody read this? And I'm like, no. And I now
You're
read
like,
them
yeah, let
all.
me read it.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I haven't read them. I need you to remind me to read them. I think that happened during one of my like random Amazon searches where it says like if you like this book or people
Yeah.
read these that
Like
read this, you
you might
know.
like this, yeah.
And that was like the random ones
I
I was
find books
clicking
all the
on.
time, all the time with
And then I
those.
message you all and I'm like, "Hey, anybody read this?" And sometimes I
Have
get a
now.
yes. But we find some
And
really great authors doing it that
yeah.
way.
To be honest, that's how we found Jill Ramsauer before she kind of launched, you know, her success at the second half of the Byrne Brothers.
Yeah.
So, really, that's kind of, you know, Jay Sommen. I was looking for rock stars and
That's where a cover counts, because like when stuff shows up there and it's like looking a
Well, that's
little
how we found
sketch,
Cock Down the
I'm like,
Block was from the cover.
The cover, she shared it on TikTok and I was like, what is that cover?
Yeah.
Her favorite jack-o'-lantern.
Yes. Oh,
Oh.
did you know there was a book that's the like Pinky Promises one, like that series, right?
Yeah.
There's a third book.
Yeah, I have it. I read it.
I didn't read that one yet. I didn't realize it was out yet.
Okay, so Stacy says Jackie Lau, Love, Lies, and Cherry Pies by Jackie Lau. 292. So, what else? Anybody else got any others?
Erin Nicholas, her hotcake series.
Okay.
It's like her Appleby, Iowa, like that whole series. It's, I mean, honestly, people, if you're not reading Erin Nicholas by now,
What are
like,
you
what
doing
is
with your
wrong with you?
lives? Oh, Jenny, do you have any others?
I got one more. All the Little Things by Rachel Lee is 330.
Okay.
Again, I like the little like angst and crazy. Yeah,
Yeah.
that definitely has
Thanks.
it.
Thanks, increasing.
So Anger Bang and Walk of Shame are both under 300 pages. Anger Bang is 292. Walk of Shame is 298 by Avery Flynn. Those are both by Avery Flynn.
I have the Manhand series by Serena Bowen and Tanya Ebby. It's a four book series. I think I don't even know if they hit 300. I'm looking right now.
Well, so Lainey Davis is Since You Been Gone by Lainey Davis, 196. Her
240. Manhand's was
240.
240.
Yep, Lainey's is right about 196 for hers. She likes that 50 to 55,000 word, and it makes them approachable, right?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Do I have any others? Love on the Byline by Zeo Axelrod is 294.
I have Jamie Albright, her Brides on the Run series. Book
Oh
two is
no.
240 pages. I think book one is what I haven't, where did I write it down? Book one is 290 pages, but like that whole series is quick and easy and really funny.
So Carrie Ann Ryan, her Montgomery Inc. Legacy averages 326 pages.
Well, and Carrie Ann says she typically is like a 65,000 word
So,
writer.
yeah. Okay, next we decided that we would give you guys some small town recs that are under 300 pages, and I went looking for either standalones or world builders because I have heard this argument that, well, if it's a first book like the Knock 'Em Out series, you got to spend so much time building the world and the characters and, you know, laying the foundation for all the stories. So I specifically went looking for small towns to prove you don't need 600 pages. So I started with What I Should Have Said by Max Monroe. That's their current release that is like all over the place. And you want to talk about freaking angst? It needs a content warning, Jenny. FYI, if you're going to read it, content warning. It is not just light and fluffy. It's got some
Like not fluffy.
it is not. It is the
Flat.
opposite of fluffy. That is only 318 pages. And that was one of those that was sitting right there at the top. Got the
Yeah.
Amazon billboard in Times Square. So,
Right.
tell me you have to have 600 pages? Okay, Leah, what do you got?
I have Aurora Rose Reynolds, her Until series, the second gen series. Well, actually, her first gen too. She averages about 240 pages per book. Small town. The town itself isn't like a huge thing, but like the family, there's a lot of family, but she keeps the pages down. Like there's not a lot of overcrowding on the pages.
So I had her in suspense with the Before We Fall, and that's only at 328, so.
Yeah, my suspense list is
different, we know.
Yeah.
Jenny, what do you have for Small Town?
I have Passing Notes by Nora Ebblerly. That's Teacher's Lounge, book number one, which just was like in the last Smarty Pants release. And I will say, like, most of the Smarty Pants books are around that, like, less than 350, little over 350. I mean, some of that's we know the world, but.
But I think some of that, too, is her criteria. I think that's kind of Penny Reed's criteria. I think it has to be under 80,000 words. Because
right. And you find so many new authors this way because you're already in a place you love. And then
it's like an amuse bouche, right? Isn't that how you say it?
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, you're just getting a small sample of how they write. Because Jiffy Kate, their Smarty Pants books are like right at like 340. But then you go over to the New Orleans series or their Rockstar series and like Come Again is almost 500 pages.
But it doesn't feel like 500 pages.
It doesn't, but they sucked me in with smaller, shorter books. And now I'm stuck at like, you know, 500 pages.
I think it's ironic that like Penny has such a like need for that short book in the world, but her books are all super long.
So a few of hers were like under, but just barely.
Yeah. Okay, so I know we're like cutting it close to our hour, so I'm gonna keep going, but I'm just gonna give my list and then Leah can give the rest of her list. Jenny can give the rest of her list in Small Town because I want to hit suspense and sports. So Chasing Wild by Kristen Proby, that's book two in her Wilds of Montana series. They're right at 291, both of them, the first two books. The Summer We Fell by Elizabeth O'Rourke, 318. And you want to talk about...
That was on my list, too.
Like, you want to talk about books that give you a lot in 350 pages? That book. The Kincaid Brothers by Kaylee Ryan. The series, as an average, sits at 260 pages. And then Heartbreak Brothers by Carrie Elks, 312 pages. Because, you know... I must give all the love to Carrie Elks. Leah, who's your short list of Small Towns?
I have Laramie Briscoe. She averages about 250 pages. It's about like her Moonshine Task Force is the first series I read. Brighton Walsh, her Starlight Cove, Possessive Heart is actually, I think it's like 268, but all of them are short. Molly McLean, she has her McMurray's at Mason Creek. It was like a author collaboration series, all of like not quite novellas, but
weren't like, all of those because those were like the
they had three series runs, but they've broken it apart so each author has them like as their own thing now.
But I think all of those were under
Mark. Like the entire collaboration series, I think it was a requirement that it had to be like 200 to 300 because they were all very short. And then Janice Whitaker, her Small Town series, and I have her on suspense too, like her Gemma Westbrooks as well, but she is typically a shorter book. Every once in a while she will get a longer one mixed in there, but she's more of like a 250 to 300 page author.
Okay. Jenny, what's your Small Town list?
I have On the Honey Side by Stacey Hart, which is Bloom Bees number two. I'm not sure. Book one might be a little over 350. She usually writes around that sweet spot again, too. And then I didn't put anything else because I was like pretty much all the Smarty Pants.
Read all the Smarty Pants.
Yeah.
Yep. Read them.
Okay. So next we're going into suspense. I had Jameson Security Force by Sawyer Bennett. On average, those are 315.
Yeah.
Ashes of You by Catherine Cowell was about 334. She has some that go a little over, but rarely does she exceed 400 pages. And a Catherine Cowell.
I think it depends. Like, but even her 400 page books, they don't read like a 400 page book typically.
And then Renna Morgan was around 320. So for suspense, what do you have, Leah?
So Anna Blakely, she always is below the 300 mark. It depends, like series to series, like they're a little bit different, but she never really passes that 300 mark. Anna Hackett also, like she's a 250 to 275-er. She like that's her sweet spot. Katie Reyes, like she's a 250, like 240 to 260. Like that's her sweet spot. Rebecca Sharpe, her Reynolds Protection series, books one through three
Had that one. Yep.
are there. Book four is longer, but I think Ranger is still only about 400 pages. So it's not like exceptionally longer. I have three more. Cynthia Eden, she actually, I believe, got her start in category. So she is like a 225 to 275, depending on the story. But like her first in series sometimes are a little bit longer just because of the world, but they never go over the 350. Actually, I don't even know if she goes to over the 300. And Nissa Catherine, she is typically below that. And then Lonnie Linvale is also in like the 275 to 300 range.
Okay, what did you have suspense wise, Jenny?
From the Embers by Ally Martinez is 240.
Really only 240? There's a
Right? I
lot. There's a
was like,
lot in
holy
that
crap.
book. Oh my, that's like a whole steak.
Yeah.
That's such a good book.
Ripple Effect by Jay Bensington is 310. I have In the Clear by Catherine Nolan. That's part of her Codex series. I'm not sure what the other ones sit at. I would assume they're like around the same. That one's 312. And I also have A Perfect Equation by Elizabeth Everett. It's a historical, like science-y. There's a suspense element, like,
Yeah, she has a mystery in it. All
yeah.
her books have a little bit of a mystery. Okay, so next was sports. The latest, all of those books that are in the Bang Brothers by like Kat Mazira, Jamie Davenport, Elise Faber, Gina Azee, Kelly Jameson, and Catherine Fox. They're all going to be under 350 pages. Right now, they're averaging about 325.
But if you look at those authors' backlist, a lot of times their full backlist is around 300
Yeah,
pages. Because Elise Faber, she is always in like the
well,
275 to 300
her
range.
last book, I think, Broken Laces, was a little more.
I think it was, but it was like a rare occasion.
Yeah.
But it also was book one in the series, too.
We already talked about Sawyer Bennett, her Titans, Baden to over 400, but on average, the rest of them are right around 300. All In by Helena Hunting, that series on average is 300 pages. And then,
Little Lies is also like 307
oh, that's not
by
bad.
Helena.
Now,
Yeah.
see, and I would have thought that those H. Hunting
Right?
books were
We're way.
longer.
Yeah, me too.
Broken Laces, 334.
Okay. Rookie Rebel series by Kate Meador on average is around 330 pages. Man Down is the longest
I have
at
that one.
377. What else do you have for sports? Jenny, what do you got?
Iced Out by Victoria Yuen, was 338. Did you already say that?
No, I didn't say that one because I would have sworn that book was longer.
Yep, it's 338. That's Hudson View's Hot Shots number one. I have Fighting Solitude by Ally Martinez, which is 335. That's a three in that series. I think the other two are a little longer. She writes shorter books, but she also does a lot of like
Duets and
duets
trilogies.
and trilogies. And then I also have Power Play, my Maria Lewis. That's 194, so less than 200.
Not bad. Leah, what do you have for sports?
I have Samantha Wiske. She has football and hockey. She averages about 220 pages for most of her books. Like some of her newer ones like hit the 250 mark, but I think 220 is about her sweet spot. And then I also have Stacy Lynn, who does football and hockey, and she's more of a 250 page.
And this just makes me happy because I do love to pick up a Samantha Whiskey because I know it's going to be quick and easy and I get stakes. Ugh, okay.
Yeah, even if we want to like dick punch the heroes,
Yeah, we get
I mean,
stakes.
there's still stakes.
Do you have any authors? We kind of talked about the authors that we know typically write shorter books. Jana Austen, Carrie Ann Ryan, Carrie Elkes, Danica Flynn. Gina Z, Kelly Jameson, Sawyer Bennett. Those are some of my authors I know typically have fast-paced books and write
Mary
shorter.
B. Moore, she typically writes a shorter book.
Yeah.
She hasn't released anything for a while, unfortunately, but yeah, she's more of like a 250, 300 page author.
So, but Marie Johnston, what does she write? Did you look at?
Let me look. Because let's see, A Fearless Memory, which is her new one, 326. So she is typically, she has some longer ones because she has three sets of duets, though those ones notwithstanding, but she's typically a 350 and below.
Yeah. Jenny, do you have any authors do you want to give a shout out to?
I got Melanie Moreland, Claudia Bergoa, Sarah Ney, if you want to like mac and cheese read, like she's a go-to for mac and cheese read. Kelly Fox writes a lot of MM. And then Ava Harrison, she kind of has a mix of everything. Most of hers are under 350.
350. Okay, so those are some of our under 350 books that you should check out. If you're curious, Jenny told us that in the Goodreads app, you can sort by page length in your Goodreads books read or want to read. So if you have questions on how to do that, email Jenny and she'll help you figure that out. Because it's now that time.
It's that
It's
time
that
for
time for
Book
Book
of
of
the
the Week. It's Book of the Week time. Jenny, what's your Book of the Week?
Week. Rookie Recovery by Lex V and Gemma Croft. It's Boy Cats book number one. It was one of those Amazon, like, you should read this.
Yeah.
It's an MM.
Are you enjoying
She's
it?
I read the whole thing. I really like it. Like, it had stakes. He, like, it's a little bit of an age gap. He's the team PT. The other guy's like the new hotshot hockey player.
Okay.
Little bit of angst in there, but like personal angst, not really
Not relationship
their
angst.
relationship
I
thing.
like that.
Yeah, it
Interesting.
was very good.
Okay. Leah, what's your book of the week?
My book of the week is The Little Sunshine by Leila Frost. Daddy Ash has graced our Kindles and it is delightful and he's a lot.
He's a
If
lot,
you
huh?
liked Little Dove, you will love Little Sunshine.
Cannot wait for this. I need to read it.
Because we get a lot of Juliet and Maximo as well.
Amazing. My book of the week is The Feud by Sawyer Bennett. It is book one in her Empires of the Bluegrass series. This is going to be a family saga. This is a slow burn. It does not pop till 74%.
She does that sometimes in those series, like those series starters.
But when I tell you that I was all in on this book and I cannot wait, if you were a person that loved Dallas or
Dynasty.
Dynasty or was it Fallen Crest or
Falcon Crest.
Falcon Crest? Like, if you love those like deep family sagas of angst and drama, then I am telling you right now, you need to pre-order The Feud by Sawyer Bennett. Like,
I already have a pre-order,
10 out of
but
10
sure.
recommend. Okay, so that's my book of the week. Patreon update, the free tier. People are joining at the free tier. We frequently make announcements over there and share every early details there before posting on social media. If you participate in our reading challenges or event, participation stickers will be exclusive to Patreon members, including the free tier. For authors, it's a fantastic way to stay informed with about upcoming events and opportunities to participate. Callouts for events and participation will be offered to followers there first. Swag packs went out a little late. They'll hit your mailbox Monday, Tuesday. Some people have them already. Some people won't get them till Monday, Tuesday.
What happens when you run out of
That's what
stamps?
happens when you run out of stamps and you have to leave your house to get the stamps. And I'm not a person that leaves my house very often. So
That's fair. That is fair.
I'm excited to share that our swag pack sponsoring authors for June are author Tia Louise and then the multi-author series. Is it Farm to Forking? Farm to Forking, I think.
Fork to table.
Fork to Table. I don't think that's it. I think I put it down wrong.
Oh, jeez.
I
Let
think
me
I
look it
put it
up.
down wrong. Anyway, Lainey Davis has book one and book two in the series is out now by Liz Alden. Okay. Swag packs go out to Fancy Drink, Cold Brew, and Queen
Farm to forking.
Farm to Forking. Yeah, I have it wrong on my paper, but I have it right everywhere else.
Sure you do.
I do. Swag packs go out to Fancy Drinks, Cold Brew, and Queen Bee Tier. We still have fun buzzing about romance exclusive stickers, mood reading cards, and other fun things. These are mailed monthly around the 10th of the month, and we do ship these internationally. This perk is mailed once monthly. If you join after the 10th, your first swag pack will be in the mail the following month. All members of Patreon get exclusive episodes like Quick Shots of Romance and Should You Read It, along with perks like buzzing about our Buzzing Book Club, and you can find a list of all of our events at bookcaseandcoffee.com/events, including happy hours, IG lives, and book clubs. And right now we're in the midst of Summer Reading Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those are our books. That's all the stuff we have going on. We are headed to Knockout June 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th. I don't know.
The last weekend of June.
The last weekend of June. If you are headed to this signing, make sure you watch our website and our social media. We will have a meetup one of the days. We're just not sure which one. Make sure and you join us.
Louisville's not ready for us.
They're not ready for us.
You'll probably hear us before you see us. So.
Right.
This is true.
Look for the blue t-shirts.
I know. I'm so excited.
All I can think of, Jenny, are the ladies from Readers on the River. And the sneak attacks. Anyway, make sure you join us back here Wednesday night for our discussion of Bet Me by Jennifer Cruzy. Very interesting. This book is 20 years old. And we will let you know how it holds up, what works, what doesn't work, and all those kinds of good things. And then we're back next Sunday with another Buzzing About Romance episode. I don't even know what we're talking about next week, but we'll be back next week.
I don't have a clue.
Jenny and Leah, thank you so much for hanging out. Thank you for everybody who tuned in on the YouTube.
It's always a good time.
Always. Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.